Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Since the Drive Factory with Chris Cam, Tristan Minion's with us as well.
Now, many of you may have heard of a little app called Grindr. It was the one that kind of started the ball rolling.
Oh, I'm not sure that it's the original.
Well, it's the one that probably caught on the quickest in the mobiles.
In the smartphone arena.
That's the one.
For apps, yes, it's definitely, and in the particularly for the gay hookup style.
That's the one. So for 7 years, they've been doing it all themselves, so to speak. It's 7 years old.
I think the app's all about not doing it for yourself,
well,
isn't it?
They were doing it for themselves. But now they've decided to cash in, the founders and or owners of that app. They have sold it through to a Chinese gaming company.
Now, I saw someone...
For $93 million.
I didn't know if that was true or not, because, you know, it was. I saw it in my social media feed, yep. And I didn't click on the links, so yep. I actually didn't know if it was a reputable news source.
They sold 60%. Of it to a Chinese gaming firm. This is it's a gaming firm, yes.
So they do like online betting and all those other questionable...
They run various games, yes.
Oh. Okay. I guess they're in the business of questionable online applications.
Yes, the Chinese company have not said that they will be launching it into China, of course.
Well, China are okay.
China have their own versions.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Of
that sort of thing.
Of hookup apps.
That's right, yes.
Really?
They've got one that was started up by a former cop.
Right.
That's the thing, apparently, in China, that particular one.
Okay.
And, so the Chinese are now in control.
Well, you know, you've got to diversify your investments, I guess.
And let's be honest, if they launch it in China, they'll all make a fortune.
All right. So we're not concerned about this. It's okay. It's
fine.
I don't
use it. I'm not concerned. But over to India, where a PhD student is worried about what people are using these apps for. He's very worried.
I don't know that there's anything to be worried about. It's pretty clear.
No. You would not guess.
Oh.
He is claiming that a very powerful gay network.
Yes.
Their gay work, yes. They're using messaging apps.
Yes.
Of which there are a few. To help the gay students cheat on exams and gain positions of power in society.
It's the gay agenda. That's what all these apps are about.
And he's also said that he is risking his life by coming forward and telling people the truth about these things.
I know, because we'll be messaging people and finding him.
Because you know that gay network, they're very powerful.
I'm stroking my pussy as we speak.
Obviously you're not stroking no pussy, Chris. Now... He goes on to claim that 10% of politicians, bureaucrats, cops, billionaires, all of that, they're all gays.
Well, let's hope so.
We're talking India here too.
Maybe not.
And so they're very much likely to use their power to promote their community legally or otherwise.
Oh, okay.
Mm. So, yeah, you've got to watch out for those gay professors, computer technicians. And other members of staff who distribute exam papers prior to the exam to the gay students through the network. Oh, see, it's all, you know, it's all terrible. But he finishes up, so it's okay. He finishes up by saying he supports gay rights,
right,
but not gay wrongs. So if you lot are out there cheating on these things with your exams, I don't mean the other kind of cheating, just exam cheating, stop it, all right? Just stop it.
If I was rich, you know what I'd need to promote my power? Viagra.
The Playboy Mansion. As you know, Playboy the magazine has ceased and desisted with the centrefold.
We should be sad about that in a way. It's been a bit of an institution.
Well, I was only sad about it because of that, because quite frankly, I don't think I've ever actually looked at a Playboy centrefold personally.
Maybe accidentally, but not, no.
No, I'm pretty sure I didn't even accidentally see one along the way.
Okay, right.
But, you know, it's a bit yucky.
artistic.
But, you know, oh, please, Christopher. But anyway... As well as that, there was the Playboy Mansion, which is Hugh Hefner's house.
Yes.
Whereas he's lived with his bevy of Playboy bunnies along the way and his, you know, passing cavalcade of wives that he's had along the way.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of them.
Yes.
Because, you know, once they get to a certain point, he has to discard them because they're too old.
Mm.
His current one is, I think she's 20-something.
Right.
But anyway.
And he's 70-something, yeah?
No. He's 89.
89, all right.
He's 89 and still wearing that same ratty old dressing gown that he's always got around in. But his daughter, who's
perhaps
actually...
she's too infirm to actually get dressed.
Isn't that what the bunnies are for?
They don't want to touch you.
Unless it's money. Anyway. His daughter, who is in charge of Playboy Enterprises, which actually owns the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
Hugh himself doesn't own that. His daughter's decided to sell off her dad's house.
Oh, you can't do that. At least wait till he dies. Oh, my God.
Well, look, at this rate, he ain't never going to die. He just keeps on going. Well,
does she have to sell it off?
Yes. She's decided to sell it off for $285 million. Well, can you see why she's decided to sell it?
But I'm sure the business is worth considerable amounts of money and is still rolling in cash. And why does she have to sell off Dad's house? That's really cruel.
Because she doesn't like him? I don't know. But
she's in charge of his business.
As you know, there's always conditions that come with a sale.
I'm quite upset about this.
Hugh's not going to be cast out into the gutter.
He's not?
No. Not like his wives, which he's cast into the gutter along the way.
Because I'm worried about him now.
No.
We need to look after our seniors.
One of the conditions of the sale, yes. If you decide to purchase the Playboy Mansion for $285 million, is you must allow Hugh Hefner to remain living there until he dies.
Oh, okay.
Whether that's 20 years or 20 minutes, you have to leave him there until then, any bunnies that he keeps around.
What happens, though, if then you sell it on and you don't put that contract in your
sale? No. It's one of those overlay type things. Hugh has to stay there.
Right.
Unless he decides to move out.
What if he turns into a bad tenant?
It's your problem. You've got to think about these things. This is a party octogenarian.
What if he wants you to clean the pool?
Well, you know,
or
it does
come.
Only fire would clean that thing. But apparently, even though you buy it for $285 million and it does come with an 89-year-old tenant and a 20-something-year-old wife. No, he doesn't have to pay rent.
Right.
But apparently he needs a lot of renovating.
Oh.
Because they haven't done much to it since the parties of the 70s.
Oh.
Ooh, you wouldn't want to get the CSI light on that thing, would you?
Who knows?
But it does come with a wine cellar, a waterfall, a sauna, a basketball court, but the bunnies are not included.
So what you're saying is it's got $285 million.
It's a renovator's delight.
It's a renovator's delight.
And it comes with an old man.
Complete with unmovable objects.
Grandpa Simpson included.
The CNC Dry Factory with Chris and Cam. It is, of course, Midsummer Festival time. We kicked it off with Carnival on Sunday. We'll talk a bit more about that later in our little exploits down there on the day. But right now, on the line, we actually have someone pretty special. We've got Christine Corbett, who is the EGM for Postal Services, which I assume means Executive General Manager. Is that right, Christine?
It does indeed.
There we go. I got it right. And also joining you, we've got your Diversity Officer from Australia Post, Sharon Carroll. Welcome to Joy.
Thank you very much.
Now, we've got you on the line because you are seriously and heavily involved in this year's Midsummer Festival with one particular item in the program that's happening from tomorrow, but which has actually been happening for some time. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Australia Post Arts Prize and, of course, the exhibition that starts tomorrow?
Absolutely. Look, we're very proud to be associated with what really for us is sort of our first Australia Post Art Prize in the Midsummer Festival. We've actually gone out and we've asked for submissions from right across the country, and it's been wonderful when we've actually sort of looked at the response. And the idea is really to look at showcasing the theme of identities. And it's really sort of looking at the broadest form when we say sort of an art show, whether it be through photography, whether it be through film or painting or sculpture, and really sort of getting submissions from, you know, everyone right across the community, and really indeed right across the country to sort of submit their work for judging, which is happening tomorrow night, and then the actual show will be on, you know, right throughout the Midsummer Festival.
Now, can I ask, why did Australia Post think to get involved or to create this particular style of exhibition and prize?
Yeah, well, we're actually a national organisation, and obviously, you know, given the reach of Australia Post, you know, we represent a wide, diverse community, you know, in terms of employees, but also actually the communities that we represent. One of the really big things for us is we really want to make sure that all our employees really actively support and champion workplace diversity. And we really thought, you know, one fantastic way to do that is through art, but it's also to give something, you know, really visible and tangible for people to not only experience but to enjoy and participate in. And we think the Midsummer Festival is a fantastic way to express that.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, you said that the theme is around identity, and you've obviously you put it out for people to put up submissions for this. How many, like, how many submissions did you get? Was it way more than you expected? Was it, like, what sort of response did you get?
So we, in terms of when we sort of got out, there was really quite a short window of time because we only really called for submissions come sort of around October. So let me talk to Sharon, because Sharon actually worked with a lot of the people on the Midsummer Organising Committee to sort of shortlist those, and we sort of got down to a handful that was actually shortlisted, and we'll unveil the winner tomorrow evening. So Sharon?
So again, as Christine said, by the time we actually decided to do this, it was October, so we really relied quite heavily on the Midsummer Festival team to put the call out to artists, use their network. We advertised on the Midsummer website, and Shirley and Ara and Adrian from the festival team waded through the submissions. I believe we had around 30 that we received. They have now successfully pulled together 12 finalists who feature in the exhibition.
All right, fantastic. And one of the, of course, the big thing about this is that there's a big grand winner to be announced tomorrow night on the opening night, which, and they received $2,000 in cash, which is no small amount.
Fantastic. Well, I know, you know, talking to, you know, a lot of the organisers, some of the artists are actually, you know, experienced artists. Some are really just emerging, and I think, you know, the Midsummer Festival gives a fantastic opportunity for people, one, to actually, for these artists to get known, for their work to actually get understood. And, you know, we're really, you know, very fortunate to have the gallery is actually in Fitzroy. It's at 69 Smith Street. So we encourage all of your listeners, you know, across the next month or so, if they're in Fitzroy, to really sort of come and look and enjoy it. But, you know, the prize is one thing, and we're really pleased to be able to, you know, help and support that. But I think, you know, for any artist, it's actually getting their name and getting their pieces of work really understood and recognised in the wider community, and that's really, you know, a big part of it.
Now, and as well as the major prize, which is announced tomorrow night, there's also the People's Choice Award. So how do people get involved in that part of the exhibition?
Absolutely. So as Christine said, we really encourage everyone to get in there and actually see the art, but of course that's not possible for everyone. So you can actually view the art on the Midsummer website, and there are voting buttons, so you can actually vote in the People's Choice Award that way. If you do happen to pop into the gallery, we have iPads there that you can vote on directly.
Fantastic. Now, Christine, you were actually one of the judges that involved...
I am.
Yeah, so... There's obviously, can you tell us about maybe a couple of the pieces of work that we can see from tomorrow?
Well, you know, I'm not wanting to give away anything, but let me tell you about a couple of things that were fantastic. So, you know, what I hadn't expected, and again, you know, it was a fantastic opportunity for me because I hadn't, I'm no art critic, so it was wonderful to actually sort of be involved. But, you know, we've got everything from sculpture, and, you know, there's some fantastic pieces there where people have sort of explored. And, again, some people may have actually seen. It was actually the one from the Wizard of Oz, The Cowardly Lion. It's actually quite a famous sculpture piece which depicts sort of a man stepping out of the skin and really sort of displaying sort of courage. And some people may have seen the original version, which is a permanent fixture outside Fitzroy Town Hall. So this is actually, you know, a smaller version that's actually on display in the gallery. We've got, you know, pieces of artwork that has explored, you know, both film, and a number of short films have also been submitted. And, you know, a number of those short films not only sort of involve, you know, exploring identities, but people's experience, whether it actually be, it's quite a dramatic piece of footage in terms of the transformation from an everyday man's face to that incredible makeup and artistry associated with a drag queen. There's wonderful photography, you know, from a trans perspective and really sort of looking at gender from both a female and male perspective. And then we've also then got, you know, some emerging sort of pieces of art, which really sort of then looks at both photography that combines dance, movement and film. And all of that we've actually got on display at 69 Smith Street.
Look, it sounds like a fantastic exhibition. It's a fantastic initiative and from Australia Post for the Midsummer Festival, so thank you for that. It is amazing. And as you say, it all kicks off tomorrow night down at 69 Smith Street Gallery, at, funnily enough, 69 Smith Street in Fitzroy. The opening night, is that opened as well to the public?
So, no, the actual gallery is open come Saturday. So we're doing the judging with some of the artists tomorrow evening. So it's a sort of special private showing for the artists and their family and friends so that we can sort of announce who that is tomorrow night. And then come Saturday, it's then open for the remainder of the festival.
Right through till February 6th. And the People's Choice Awards is open until the end of the exhibition on that day.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. So get along to 69 Smith Street Gallery at 69 Smith Street, Fitzroy, and have a look in person. That's the best way to assess some of this amazing art. But if you can't, get along to the Midsummer Festival website and vote there. Christine and Sharon, thank you very much for joining us today and telling us all about this amazing exhibition.
A pleasure, and thank you very much for having us on so we can actually share, you know, this really exciting venture with your listeners.
Cheers. It's been lovely having you on. Thank you very much once again.
Bye.
That was Christine Corbett, who's the Executive General Manager of Postal Services at Australia Post, and Sharon Carroll, who is the Diversity Officer at Australia Post, and all about the exhibition for the Australia Post Arts Prize. Which is part of Midsummer. Fantastic stuff. Get down there if you can. Here on Joy 94.9, CNC Drive Factory with Chris and Cam.
Now, Lady Gaga, as you know, she's been on that trajectory of going a bit upmarket of late. So she's not wearing meat dresses or anything more. She's gone all couture.
She has.
She's doing all that stuff with Tony Bennett.
She's wearing very classic makeup, doing classic hairstyles.
And despite
Despite what
those fools on Fashion Police were talking about, which, can I just say, is a rubbish show since Paul Joan passed on.
It's hosted by her daughter.
Yeah. I stick with what I just said. I thought she looked fabulous at the Golden Globes.
Mm.
Absolutely fabulous. And
you should do Fashion Police.
I would actually be so much better than those, buddy. Anyway. So she's everywhere now. She's an actress, she's a singer, and she's a cover model.
Yes.
Now, everyone's done nudie cover shots these days. That's like passé. Who cares anymore? Again, let's not worry about that, Chris. No need for nudie cover shots for Chrissy. But Lady Gaga and her husband, Taylor Kinney, who's a bit of a variety.
Yeah.
He's in that Chicago Fire show.
Oh, so he's got to be a hot fiery.
Yeah. He's one of the hot fieries.
Right.
They are doing a nudie cover for V magazine in the US of A.
What's V magazine?
I don't know, some magazine that everybody does.
Fashion magazine.
It's one of those it type magazines. But just to do a bit different for their nudie shot, they decided to up the ante.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a nudie shot. It was a post-coital nudie shot. So they they rolled around and had a bit of a root in some paint and then sat upright and took photos.
Did they have a photographer?
Now, they didn't say whether the photographer was in during the coital action or if the photographer came in after the coital action.
Because I've just looked this up, and the one that the papers have got of is a mirror shot. So? Like, it's a selfie. Mm. They're holding a camera and...
So if you're looking at the cover of V magazine in the US of A with Lady Gaga and Taylor Kinney in the nudie with paint all over them,
yeah,
they're in the postcoital glow. She can still shock, can't she?
God. First, though, Cam.
Now I really should have got this organised better because I really need that bit out of the Boney M song.
Rasputin.
Yeah, it needs to go, oh, those Russians.
I'll organise that for you when you warn me next time.
Because now things that go missing, strangely enough, in Russia. Now, police have actually arrested a senior prison official on suspicion of stealing and selling something. Now,
a senior prison official.
What would you think a prison official would steal and then on sell and hope all the while hoping nobody would notice?
Sneaky smokes?
From the prison stockpile or something?
Yeah.
Well, you see, you might think it'd be something to do with the prison, but you'd be actually wrong.
Oh.
It turns out that the prison official stole a 50 kilometre stretch of highway and sold it. That's right.
How could that happen?
Yes.
Thank you, Tristan.
Somehow.
The voice of reason over here.
Somehow, nobody noticed that he stole 50 kilometres of concrete highway and sold them all. He sold each slab off in turn, and nobody noticed as 50 kilometres of road just disappeared.
I don't understand. But how could you sell it? How could you live?
The road was made up of 7,000 individual concrete slabs that were laid through because it was a fairly remote part of Russia.
So it wasn't a slab of concrete. It was like there 1 metre by 1 metre slabs.
No, there would have been, bits. Then they link them all together and make a road. 7,000 of them.
So it's a Meccano set road.
Yes, dismantled it, drove it away and sold all the pieces. And they're not really sure when he did it, but they know it was somewhere between 2014 and 2015.
It's a well-used road,
I'm guessing nobody uses that road.
So, he was just making better use of public resources.
He looked at it and said, if you're not using it, I will.
I will.
So we don't know how much he got for 50 kilometres of road.
Oh, we don't know?
No, we don't know what he got for it.
Haven't they caught him, though?
No, they've arrested him.
But
they didn't put out what he actually made out of selling off the road. Because let's be honest, it probably wasn't that much. Because Russian roads aren't terribly high quality for a start.
Hey, I want to see these Meccano, you build them yourself roads.
I'm sorry, they have been shipped somewhere else and repurposed as another road, I'm guessing. It's probably in some, oligarch's driveway somewhere.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Somebody needed a concrete driveway.
The Russian mafia have got a kick-ass driveway now.
Look, all power. All power to the...
Hey, maybe we need to buy some Russian freeways.
Couldn't be any worse.
Ship them over here.
Couldn't be any worse.
Fix up the Monash.
You're on Joy. Joy 94.9, 21 minutes to 6. We had a message in relation to... Milan.
Look, Milan said that we should get out there in our Speedos because of the warming of the globe.
Yes.
We threw it back and said, no. I think the people would rather see Milan in Speedos.
He's the one who's well under 30 in this room.
And fit.
And fit, yes. He jogs a lot.
Now, John from Franger sent us a message to, where did he send it to? onair@joy.org.au. Feel free to use it at any time. And he said he loves us. Thank you. That's lovely. But then he just ruined it all by saying he wants to see us in our Speedos.
And he LOL'd that he wants to see us. So he thinks it's funny. Yeah, well, I can tell you that, Mardi Gras coming up and, it's a special occasion. It's a big birthday. I'm celebrating in style at the premier GLBTIQ festival in Australia. And I promised myself that I would have my 2006 Mardi Gras body back for 2016. I can tell you with 43 days till Mardi Gras, it ain't looking good. I think I'm going to break that promise. So,
And I will not be looking like I looked in 2006.
No. I think your body fat percentage was at like 6%.
I didn't have much, no. And nor did I wear a lot of clothes.
No,
either.
You didn't. No.
I was wearing basically
wearing the same thing this year.
No. I will be covered.
So, it's just a fact of life, John, that as we get older, Speedos are just not our friend, despite what Tony Abbott seemed to think. No. Now, Tristan, you told us a couple of weeks ago that you'd got yourself a new puppy dog.
Yes.
What was her name?
Maddie.
Maddie. And what was she again?
A Jack Russell cross.
A Jack... Like, what's she crossed with? You don't know, do you?
No, I'm not going to spend money on it to find...
Right. So you're not doing DNA testing.
No.
Right. How big is she?
She's small.
Okay. Can you pick her up?
Yes.
All right.
And I can hold her like a little baby.
Aww. She looks like a baby doll.
She does?
Yeah, that sort of size.
All right. Now, what, you got an update for us?
Yes, she's settling pretty good. Mm-hmm. She's loving the other dog, and they get along
well.
Yeah, but sometimes she get into a little bit of trouble, so when she gets into trouble, she's in the bedroom to cool off.
Like father, like daughter.
Yes.
Tristan has to go in the naughty corner.
Yeah. No, but she likes to relax and have a cool drink and listen to the radio, like her dad.
Like her dad. Yeah. They both sit there with a glass of wine.
Well, no, Maddie's can't have wine. But,
well, I don't know.
But it's a good excuse for Tristan to have wine. But you're doing well, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we've been doing a little bit of training.
Yeah.
At home, so yeah, she's been doing.
She training for treats?
Oh, we're trying to, but we've just slowly starting.
You know, sit and stay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good start. It's a good start. Well, thank you for your update. We love to hear about your puppy because we're you know, very supportive of puppy families.
Mm-hmm. Children of non-human birth.
It's a very important aspect of a lot of our lives. And now, talking
say,
of which...
I would say, too, if anyone wants to see a lovely picture of Tristan's little puppy, Maddie, you can go to the CNC Drive Factory Facebook page. There's a picture on there of her.
Excellent, excellent. Also on there is some great pictures of Rosie Dog from Carnival on
she looked
Sunday.
Fabulous.
She did look fantastic.
It
she
destroyed
was wearing,
her. But...
She was wearing her Joy hashtag 94 days singlet, which made her look like a super dog. Look like a cape.
A bit.
And she had her photo taken with the hashtag 94 days Instagram frame.
She was very popular with the semi-naked boys.
Well, I have to say, she is a boy magnet.
I know, and a girl magnet. She's a magnet for everyone.
Of the hottest type. We did our meet and greet down at the Joy stall at Carnival on Sunday. Nobody wanted to talk to us. Everybody wanted to talk to Rosie. Everybody wanted to give Rosie hugs. Nobody wants to give me a hug. Hug down in Carnival.
I'll give you a hug.
No, that's not. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. So check out the pictures on both the Joy page, Facebook page, and the CNC Drive Factory Facebook page. There's lots of photos, and the photos of Carnival on the Joy Facebook page by our massive photographers, headed up by our photography leader, Betty, and including Hamish and a number of other volunteers who helped out with photos on the day, are amazing. They give you a great snapshot of what happened on Carnival. So get along to the Joy Facebook page, check out the pictures, spot the ones of Rosie Dog, give them a like, because she's a Joy member too.
Oh, yeah. And if you're not sure how to find her, just search for a hashtag Rosie Dog on any... She's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Absolutely. There's a few other hashtag Rosie Dogs, but...
Yeah, well, you'll know which one's which.
She's the Saint Bernard.
She's the pretty one. And now we're going to go to North Korea. And the North Koreans have another major scientific breakthrough. They have these a lot because their scientists are some of the best in the world.
Well, isn't Kim Jong-un one of the scientists?
Well, yes.
Isn't he the head scientist?
He is a particularly bright and intelligent scientist. And if you ever watch the interview, you'll know that he doesn't even have a bum. Really, people, go and watch the interview. It's brilliant. Now,
just don't tell anyone.
Well, don't let the North Koreans know, because they'll you know, hack
put
you
on
or something.
A list, yes.
Yeah. Now, the North Korean scientists, in their, you know, fresh from developing the world's smallest H-bomb, which was indistinguishable from a normal nuclear bomb.
Mm.
Amazing.
Very clever of them.
Why they did that, nobody knows, but amazing. Have developed a new form of alcohol, a new drink, which you can drink as much of it as you like, and you will not get a hangover. That's right. They have developed the hangover-free booze.
Hangover-free alcohol.
I know. The particular alcohol, which the state newspaper describes as suave, is 34 to 40% alcohol, and yet you will not get a hangover. Now, it is made from a type of indigenous ginseng called insam, as well as some the other very popular alcoholic ingredient, glutinous rice. And it's, of course, cultivated by organic farming methods because they can't afford pesticides over there. Now, this particular insam plant also is known by North Korean scientists to cure MERS, SARS and AIDS.
All of them?
I know, along with not giving you a hangover after you drink it.
Like, now, North Korea is going to be the wealthiest country in the world.
Well, no, they can't export it because they don't want to help those degenerate Westerners, you know, fix themselves.
Oh.
But the booze, it apparently exudes national flavour.
Exudes national flavour?
I know.
What does national taste like?
Who knows? But it exudes national flavour without dampening your national fervour the following morning. It's like the ad just writes itself, doesn't it? And among its other amazing selling points is it is highly appreciated by experts and lovers. Funnily enough, some people who've been to North Korea and returned, you know, tourists, that kind of thing.
Yes.
They have tried previous versions of this particular booze. And as they said, it's okay in flavour, but they're not keen on it as a tasty treat.
Oh.
So that's the unbiased
Western. So it's got all these amazing qualities, but it tastes ordinary.
It'll cure freaking everything. You're not going to get a hangover, but it tastes a bit crappy, but very, very suave.
Suave.
Mm.
Got to get yourself some suave.
Because if you're in North Korea and you say anything against it,
that wouldn't be suave.
No, neither will you be.
Let's get some suave in North Korea. Let's go.
Sounds like something from The Simpsons. The latest drug, swank.
Here on Joy, Tristan Millions with us as well, of course. Aren't you, Tristan? Don't nod.
Yep.
Don't nod when I...
He gets confused and thinks he's on TV.
I know, he's bigger than us.
Oh, you know, he's very multimedia. Mm. Or maybe it's just his YouTube channel. I'm not sure. Now, researchers. We're not going scientists this time. Researchers. I don't know if that's better or not. Have decided to research stereotypes. That's right. They had money to research stereotypes. Now, the London School of Economics...
How do I get onto these bandwagons? I want a piece of the action.
You need to be a professor. Oh. And then you can get on the money gravy train, the rest of them. But anyway,
so is that the whole purpose of getting a degree and certifying that you're smart so you can get on the government grant gravy train?
Well, duh. Oh. Anyway, over at the London School of Economics we're going, I know, it's a respectable institution, decided to investigate stereotypes and the unusually high concentration of gay or lesbian workers in certain occupations. You got that? So they grabbed two very large-scale employment surveys from the US, which actually had 5 million people's employment data in it.
That's a pretty reasonable survey sample.
Yes.
Yeah.
So survey said. So do you think any of the stereotypes that people often have about where the gays and lesbianas work, do you think any of them held up according to the data?
Do you want to give me... Look, the truth is, opinion, there's always truth in a stereotype.
That's right. Mm. And that's what they found.
Yep.
Funnily enough, the study found some very popular stereotypes, as they even said, like the gay flight attendants once parodied by the band Scooch.
That was
they actually used in that. They said these things actually hold up in real life. See, Scooch is based on reality. Who would have known? So, study says it's like Family Feud. Now, the study said that among male workers in female majority occupations, gay men were prevalent in hairdressing, nursing, and travel. And there we go. All that. And then they moved on to lesbians, who were overrepresented in male-dominated fields such as plumbing, heating, maintenance work, and trucking.
No.
I know. Who would have thought about it? And in fields dominated by men, gay men are more likely to be actors, news reporters, or artists. In female-dominated fields, lesbians are more likely to work in sociology, social care, or psychology. See, so the stereotypes
are true.
Pan out.
I know. There you go. So we're all a stereotype.
Funnily enough, we seem to have failed miserably on stereotype jobs.
No.
What?
All the best IT workers are gay.
Oh.
I'm really good at my job.
Back when you were an IT professional.
Back when I was an IT professional.
When you
earning real
that
money.
IT money.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's stereotypes are in fact true, according to the study.
Excellent.
So I think, in celebration of that study, I think we should hear from the band that was mentioned in the study.
The ultimate stereotype.
That's right. A bit of Scooch and a bit of Fly in the Flag from Eurovision way back when they did not do very well, unfortunately. I believe they were robbed in that Eurovision vote.
Britain doing well in Eurovision.
It doesn't happen.
It's not a stereotype.
No, that's a stereotype.
You're a joy.
Now, just before, we were talking about the researchers in the UK that found that a lot of stereotypes for gays and lesbians in occupations are actually true.
They're all true.
You know, and one of those
As I throw my wrist in the air,
it's
all
broken.
True.
And one of those was in travel, as they put it.
Yes.
And they mentioned, quite specifically, the band Scooch.
Yes.
And their song, Flying the Flag.
And the video.
Which I will point out is our little niece's Ava, who's four, she is in love with that video. Every time she gets my phone, she goes, watch the video. Watch the video. She loves Scooch. But anyway, moving on from that.
Four-year-olds and gay men.
I know.
I've always said they have lots in common.
We're all the same. Tony has sent us in a message after that Scooch interlude.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
This is Tony, remember?
Yeah.
He said, geez, what if you were eating your salty nuts and bits got stuck in your mouthpiece? You would have to get the bloke next door to you to blow it out for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Tony.
We got that from the video.
I know. That's what happened to Tony last time he flew Tiger.
Segwaying. 94.9, 12 minutes to 7, CNC Drive Factory, Chris Cam and Tristan.
Now, as many people may know, I am a bit of a fan of Caitlyn Jenner. Despite her not being perfect, let's be honest, I still love her.
The world's finding more and more flaws with the...
It is the price of fame, unfortunately.
Mm.
People find your faults and then they magnify them. But one thing is for sure...
But are they?
What?
Or are they fair in their summation of her faults?
Everybody has their own opinions. It's how it goes, unfortunately. We can't all agree on everything, can we?
No, we can't.
But that's not the point.
Right.
So she's got her show coming up, and apparently there's a bit of fireworks in there between her and the other girls as they disagree over various issues and over some of Caitlin's opinions. So that will be fleshed out in the upcoming I Am Kate series, which starts, I believe, in March on E! But... also coming soon, well, not really soon, probably in 2017, Caitlyn Jenner is now working on her memoirs.
Surely there's already been a whole bunch of biographies.
Quite possibly,
about her whole life.
But but
throughout the Olympic days and the marriages.
Yeah, there's probably been books about all of that kind of stuff, but there would have been very important elements that were never ever included in any of those particular memoirs.
It's definitely a personal journey.
Yes.
Memoir.
Yes. It is her. It's about after she's writing it now with a ghostwriter, or
right.
Not a ghostwriter, a co-writer.
Mm.
And it has been described as a no holds barred memoir. So the other author with Caitlin has already said that he will be talking to all sorts of other people as well, and Caitlin has promised there will be no secrets. So everything will be in there. I'm not sure what all of Caitlin's family will be thinking of that, but all of their secrets will be revealed in Caitlin's book prior to any of them getting the chance to release a book. But then the breaks. Bet you'll get a couple of Kardashian books out this year. Watch.
Probably.
Trying to beat Caitlin out for her early 2017 release.
You know... You're going to make us go on holiday just so you can buy that book and read it, aren't you?
Oh, my God, I so will buy that book and read it, yes.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.